Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
800-922-6680. 800-922-6680. If you would like to talk about what's going on, State of the Union tonight, State of the Nation, as you see it, whatever. Whatever. So, Vivek Ramaswamy was on with Megyn Kelly, and I'm going to get to that in just one second. I do want to mention this. Secretary of State of Michigan Jocelyn Benson has announced that she's coordinating with six battleground secretaries of state to prevent Donald Trump from winning. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we've endured a lot of stuff as Americans, particularly as Trump voters, and we're getting real close to just the end of our patience with all of this nonsense. And we need to have a free and fair election. We deserve to have a free and fair election. That there are people in public office who are trying to take that away from us that is constitutionally guaranteed because they don't like our choice for president and they're threatened by it is absolutely unacceptable. But I want you to hear from this this woman who is kicking the pit bull, and this is just another one of the things they're going to try and do. But the sleeping giant is beyond awake, and the sleeping giant is getting more ticked off every day.
In Michigan, leading the way in a lot of these efforts to ensure that democracy continues to exist, that every vote is heard and counted at the ballot, but you're not just helping Michigan.
Okay, so make sure that democracy is saved, that every vote is counted at the ballot. And yet they're going to try and keep Donald Trump from being on the ballot. They've already tried. They got beaten by the Supreme Court. 9-0 decision. And now they're trying this. Oh, by the way, in these battleground states, ground zero for what happened in 2020. Yeah.
You're part of a group of secretaries of state that are really working on this around the country. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, one of the things we saw in 2020 was that particularly in battleground states, we were all battling a common adversary, a really nationally coordinated effort to undermine the will of the people, both before, during, and after.
No, you did that. You changed the election law, and you allowed Zuckerbucks and all these drop boxes, and you delayed the accounting of the votes and all of that stuff. So, yeah, that's on you.
Election day. And we learned to semi-coordinate with each other in 20. You know, Katie Hobbs and I, who was Secretary of Arizona at the time. She and I are...
Same thing. Yeah. Played around in the elections. He was in charge of the elections and all that stuff. You know, yeah. But, I mean, that's disinformation. What am I talking about?
Friends, we would talk regularly. But there was really no way for us to consistently, as a team, the six of us in those six battleground states, which was...
Six people versus millions of people who live there. Six Karens, I guess. Maybe some of them are men. Trying to take away your ability to vote for the candidate you want.
It's in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia, to constantly both compare notes and also say, okay, how are we going to respond?
This is none of the business of the secretaries of state.
This nationally coordinated effort with a coordinated response. And so that's, now we have that. We actually spent 2022 working to build that team in these six states.
Yeah. If I lived in those states and I were a Trump voter or, you know, somebody who just wants the vote to be free and fair, I'd be beyond angry about this. And, you know, I like to use the expression that Democrats make a mess and then rub your face in it. Sooner or later, you're going to get bit. You're going to get bit big. And the American people are done with this. Absolutely done with it. And the more they push, the worse things are going to become. I think what's going to happen is the overwhelming majority of the American people want to get America back to where it was. We want to have the parties be able to disagree on things without one party becoming so ungodly Marxist, socialist, and evil and trying to change the country rather than just two parties that can disagree on issues but love the country as founded. And that's what's happened. This is Vivek Ramaswamy. He was on with Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly. It was a great interview, and I have a good deal of respect for Vivek. I didn't feel he was ready to be the president, and I believe that Vivek had to earn our trust. Vivek, other than Donald Trump, is the only presidential candidate this run that I have met, and I was very impressed with him. I met him at Benning Media in New Hampshire, our glorious stations there. It's such a blessing to be on in that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state. Here is Vivek talking about the media freaking out over Trump.
Yes. Yeah, so look, I think that it's a bit Orwellian, a bit of projection here, where you do have a political party and a movement that is literally trying, but for the Supreme Court, to remove one of the two major candidates from the ballot in states across this country. And that means you don't have a nation left, right? If you want a patchwork framework where certain states can disallow certain presidential candidates while other ones allow them, we don't have a country left. So if we wanted to adopt the histrionics, I think we would have a stronger case in the reverse direction. A political party in power where literally the prosecutorial force of a Department of Justice reporting into the U.S. president, who's one of those two candidates on the ballot, is using the apparatus of that federal government to go after his political opponent in the middle of an election.
Yeah. And it won't end well for them. It won't end well for Joe Biden. It won't end well for those in power. I'm just saying, that's just history, all right? When the people realize that their government is working against them, enriching themselves while the people scrape by, sooner or later, that house of cards is going to come tumbling down. And in those instances, they never had a First Amendment, all right? Here's some more from Vivek about Joe Biden being the candidate and how Vivek doesn't feel Joe Biden's going to be the candidate, which I agree with and have said unflinchingly to the chagrin of many people that I know who are like, I can't believe you're saying that. Well, look at the guy. I mean, dear God. But here's Vivek.
I think the real race hasn't really even begun. I don't think Biden is going to be the nominee.
Why?
I think they are already planting the seeds, laying the breadcrumbs that make it evident that they're preparing to move him out of the way.
Yeah.
What I see right now is the Democrats seeing an advantage, though, in prolonging that as much as possible.
Yes.
The more Republicans fall into the trap, and I do see it as a trap, and I do see some Republicans falling into it.
Listen carefully.
Of focusing the agenda on defeating Biden, yes. Talking about his age, talking about his frailty, his mental errors, his lack of mental acuity. Even some of the corruption relating to Biden and his relationship with Hunter, all worthy topics to interrogate about any U.S. president. But the more we fall into the siren song of that as our trap, as a lightning rod for our message, in some ways, the better it is for the Democrats if you get to this summer, all of that political capital, energy, messaging capital, and even just raw inertia, right? A force moving in a certain direction, if that's your message, criticizing Biden as your agenda, they pull the rug out. It's not Biden as the nominee. That then, by the middle of the summer, works to the Democrat advantage.
There you go. And then the Democratic Party can say, hey, man, you know, they've been talking about Joe Biden, but Joe Biden is no longer a candidate. Gavin Newsom is the guy, and you know, or whoever. I mean, Gavin Newsom, dear God. Or whoever the hell they decide to. And then they feel like they get a fresh start. So what he's saying basically is we can't just make Joe Biden the reason why you need him out of office. It's Democrat policy. It's the Democrat Party. It's what the Democrat Party has been down with, and Joe Biden has been its chief puppet out in charge. So rather than just focusing on Joe Biden's infirmity, Joe Biden's incompetence, Joe Biden not showing up anywhere, focusing on the destruction of the country, the violence of the country, and tying it and relentlessly tying it into not only Joe Biden, but the Democrat Party and how it has let down America. You see what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Vivek.
First of all, I think that's necessary because I think it's not going to be Biden. we had, you know, even in the very debate that you moderated and I participated in, we had the Beat Biden pledge. And I told Ronna McDaniel this was a pretty silly pledge where we are not focusing on our own agenda or even focusing on our nominee. Yep. But instead focusing on beating Biden when he's not going to be the nominee. Yes. I've thought this for a long time. But I think that that's a bit of a trap that the Republicans are falling into. And it's an easy trap to fall into because it's a lot easier to criticize an individual than it is to actually articulate and affirm an agenda and a vision of your own. But that's what I think we need to level up and do in these coming months, such that when that switch does come midsummer, late summer, who knows when it is, it matters less who they put up because we've already immunized ourselves against the effect of that to say that, okay, you have that politic, internal Democratic politic game going on over there. We're running there. We're focused on a nation with borders actually behaving like a nation, on economic growth and the pursuit of excellence without apologizing for it, on a national identity grounded in the 1776 principles that set our country into motion. We'll go straight down the list. That's what making America great again is all about.
Yeah, he's exactly right. So focus on the destruction that the Democrat Party has wrought under the leadership of Joe Biden, while making sure everyone knows this is the Democrat Party that has put us in this position. There you go. Makes sense, right? Makes sense. This is one of my favorite quotes from Vivek. And I do mean this. And when I told you earlier about how you got these secretaries of state who are going to coordinate to steal the vote from us, that's what they're trying to do. And they've already tried. They've tried. Dear God, look at how many times they tried to steal our vote, take away from us. And look at how they successfully did it. Look at how they successfully did it. All right. But this is Vivek. Where we are right now.
It is a 1776 moment right now. That's where we live right now. And you want to know, what does it mean to be a Republican today? It means we believe in the ideals of 1776.
Yes.
Ideals like freedom and merit and the pursuit of excellence. That you get ahead in this country, not on the color of your skin, but on the content of your character.
And he also made this observation the night that he left his candidacy and stood on stage with Donald Trump. And I've told you that we're not at the beginning of something. You know, we talk about, you know, 2024, things are going to get nuts. We are already there, all right? We are so into it already, it ain't even funny.
You know this man, you know why we're here, patriots across the state. We are in the middle of a war in this country. Amen. That's what this is. It's not a war between black and white.
Nope.
It's not between Democrat and Republican, even in a deeper sense.
Nope.
It's between the permanent state and the everyday citizen.
Uh-huh.
Between those of us who love the United States of America and a fringe minority who hates this country and what we stand for.
Boom. Boom. And that's when I say that if 77% of us can disagree with the or can agree that the country's headed in the wrong direction, then 77% of us can come together to save it. Yeah. And that's happening. I know that sounds crazy, right? Listen to Charles Barkley. I've been, you know, teasing you about this. Charles Barkley, you know, he said he wanted to punch black people in the face who wore a Donald Trump mugshot. Right? Whatever. Who cares? That got all the sound bites and all the attention. But I want you to listen to Charles Barkley echoing my words that I've been saying for years about the Democrat Party and black people. And black people are really starting to get it. Even Charles Barkley.
The reason I think the Democratic Party and Mr. Biden, President Biden, is losing black votes is they only care about black people every 4 years. They come into our neighborhoods and say, we're going to make stuff better.
Boom.
We're going to do this, do this, do this. And then finally, us black people are like, yo, man, other than my ability to dunk a basketball, all my neighborhoods are still the same. Our schools are still the same.
Yep.
And that's why I think black people are leaving disappointed in the Democratic Party, because I ain't going to lie, I voted Democratic every time just because I thought it was going to help black people and poor people. Because black people and poor white people, they're in the same boat.
Dude. Again, another thing that I told you. I said black people and poor white people are so similar, it's not even funny. Because I grew up in it. I grew up in it. I grew up a little kid in the 70s and in the 80s. Man, we watched All in the Family. We watched Jeffersons. We watched Sanford and Son. We didn't think about color. We just were poor. Those shows meant a lot to us because they made us laugh and they brought us together. Didn't think about color. We got the same thing. We got families that come together and share meals together and laugh despite all of the hardship. This happens in both black and white families. All families when you live in poverty or when you're suffering like that. See what I mean? This is fantastic. I want to share this Batya Unger Sargon talking about us versus them. Another thing that I've been talking about. The liberal elites at MSNBC and CNN and the rest of us. That's coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show.
It's time to make common sense common again. It's the Rob Carson Show.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall.
Like, yeah, remember the analogy that I use about the spectators in the Hunger Games? Did you watch that movie? And you got these effete, elite people all made up with their fancy hair and their fancy clothes, and they look down on the children who are fighting each other to the death for food. That's what that MSNBC panel reminded me of. Yeah, they have no idea. They have no idea what's going on in this country. I lived it. I grew up poor, right? I grew up pretty poor, and I never knew I was poor until a couple years ago. You know, most kids didn't have to go to the half-price store. There was a store called the Half-Price Store. You'd buy knockoff tennis shoes, and they were terrible. It's like they're made by Mikey instead of Nike, you know. And, and there was a year we got free government cheese. Otherwise, my mother did no public assistance. No, no, no. We just raised everything on our own and everything. And then I returned to poverty not too long ago, just a few years ago. I lost my home, and we had to do I debated whether I'd ever share it with you. We had to have food stamps. And I'm going to tell you, we never ate better. And I learned to, you know, when you go to Sam's Club, you can always tell who has their EBT card because they load their carts up, man. They pile their carts up on the first of the month. It's like, oh, my God, they don't even care. Then it's, well, let's have this and that and this and that and this and that. And then they just, you know, blow it all, right? You know. But I had to go back to that. And it was terrible. It was terrible. It was devastating for me. It was devastating. But it taught me a lesson. It taught me what's going on, and it reconnected me with what's happening in our country. And there's this amazing woman. Her name is Batya Unger Sargon. And every time she opens her mouth, I'm like, damn. I first saw her at a Newsmax talking about Israel because she is Jewish. And she's gone around the country. She was on Steve Bannon's show yesterday, The War Room. And she talked about what's going on, those guys we just played right there from MSNBC, versus the rest of us. And I want you to listen to this because this is it. This is what's going on. I told you that the people who are in charge of all of this nonsense are small in number. But they are in media, they are in government, and they are in control. Here she is.
And Trump showed up and said, wait a minute, why is no one standing up for the hardworking American? And what I did for this book is I traveled around the country and interviewed working class Americans. And let me tell you something, Steve, and you know this. Working class Americans, whether they vote for Democrat or Republican, whether they're liberal or conservatives, they all have the same views. Like, neither party is really speaking to them. They all agree, by and large, about the most important issues. Polarization is a totally elite phenomenon.
Boom. 100%, particularly the racism thing. That's why that white rural rage bullcrap book was written by elites to divide us. That's why when they're celebrated on MSNBC, that's why all of us went, are you out of your minds? Here's some more of Batya Unger Sargon.
There's no natural connection between supporting abortion on demand and believing in climate change and supporting an open border.
Yes.
Those things were cobbled together because they are all in the interests of the leftist elites.
Boom.
And so if you're in those leftist elites, you're like, oh, these are all my priorities. If you are a hardworking American, those are not your priorities. You go issue by issue and say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so I would never get an abortion, but I know somebody who was raped, so I don't want it to be banned.
Uh-huh.
You say, well, I have a family member who's gay and I want them to be treated with dignity, but I have a child in school and I'm terrified of the trans agenda, right?
Yes.
You have this because the American working class is deeply tolerant.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
That is how they approach the world.
Well, that's not what they say at MSNBC. They wrote that book called White Rural Rage.
I cannot sit here and allow this kind of slander of the American people to go unopposed.
Amen.
This book, this is the wishful thinking of over-credentialed college elites who have turned their back on the working class and who hate America.
Yes.
And this is their wishful thinking as their justification. Oh, we don't have to care about the working class because they're racist. You know what, Steve? Something that you have taught me first, probably before anybody else, the working class in MAGA is multiracial.
Oh, my God, believe it or not. Yeah, and you know what? It is becoming overwhelming to the left. That's why they're freaking out. I've got a little bit more from her coming up. Then Kathy Hochul and the National Guard of the New York subway. And, of course, John Honey, Newsmax, on the scene. Awesome reporter comes up next.
Polls. I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Yeah, this is one of my sound bites of the year where Jim Psaki, Hot Psaki, and Rachel Maddow and the other harpies, I mean hosts on MSNBC, were tone deaf to what the American people are crying out for, and that is to seal the darn border. John Honey of Newsmax, who I have become a huge fan of because of his powerful reporting from places all over the world, including most recently Israel and the southern border, joins us on the Newsmax hotline. Hello, John. How's today treating you, bro?
It's going well. I want to hear you say Jen Psaki's name again, though.
That was, you mean that was, always up for a little hot sake, you know?
That got me going. I tell you, I listen to that all day. It's going great. Well, it's good to be on with you again, Rob.
Good to have you on. Yeah. Man, there's so much I want to talk to you about. I do want to mention first and foremost, because you reported live from Israel. You put yourself in danger. And on a not so serious note, you know, you sometimes wonder when you know, something they want the best of the best out in the fields of you know, fire and all of that, because they're the best people. In your case, so. But Elliot was trying to get me to do a show from the battle zone. And I'm like, dude, I do a comedy show. What's this all about? No, Rob, you need to go to Ukraine, Rob.
Well, it depends what battle zone you're talking about. Are you talking about Ukraine, Israel, or are you talking about Eagle Pass? You know,
Eagle Pass. Oh, my God.
Or the subways of New York City. You know,
unbelievable.
Another battle zone, to the point that, as you know, they've sent the National Guard in there, which is just, you know, it just shows you this is where our country's gone, and this is where our big cities and, you know, the sanctuary cities, it's just representative of the problem. But as far as going to the battle zone, look, I may be going back to Israel. You are more than welcome to come along.
No.
Israel, you know, one of the things about Israel, I tell people, Israel is overall incredibly safe. It's one of the safest places you can go. I know there's always the potential, particularly on some of the borders, that things could really pop off and get dangerous. But I never, having lived in Israel and Jerusalem for 4 years, I never felt unsafe. I can't say that parts of our country anymore, south side of Chicago and some of these cities, but, you know, I always felt very, very safe in Israel. You know, and that remains the case. However, things are contentious in the north. Things are contentious in the West Bank. And obviously, we continue to see what's happening, with the IDF taking out and destroying Hamas.
Now, don't you think that we could take some cues from Israel on their border? Don't you suppose that we could? Because honestly, with the exception of the outrageous, horrific, barbaric attack on October the 7th, which, by the way, this Holocaust only took days to deny. It took decades to deny previously. But don't you suppose that we could take some cues from Israel on our southern border?
Yes, absolutely. Israel, so in 2017, I actually did a story about Israel's separation barrier and how it dramatically cut down on terrorism and potential terrorism. Israel had to. It had no choice. After the Second Intifada, they had to put up their separation barrier. I can't remember the exact, I think 300 or 400 miles of a barrier, both wall and the majority of the barriers, by the way, a fence in Israel.
Yes.
you know, and they can detect if it's a bird landing on a fence or a human trying to get through that fence along, you know, the West Bank and those border lines. So in that regard, it was very, very effective, an effective tool for Israel's security and overall safety. So to answer your question, absolutely.
Let's talk about what you saw when you were in Eagle Pass. Obviously, were you there as, I'm trying to remember when exactly you were there. Were you there as Greg Abbott began reinforcing the border to stop the stem of illegals coming into the state of Texas?
Yeah, so I was there. I was there initially back in January. I'm getting my days mixed up. When the GOP delegation was there, led by Mike Johnson, I was on the ground. And then I was there last week when President Trump met with Greg Abbott on the border there at Shelby Park. They toured the National Guard facility that had been set up for upwards of 2,500 National Guard members to patrol and enforce the border there. So I was there, and I actually was the only reporter who was called on to, you know, for questions. And I asked Governor Abbott if Joe Biden was there directly, you know, what would he say to him directly to his face? And then I asked President Trump about Venezuela, about Nicolas Maduro.
Yes.
And the war that Venezuela and Maduro has declared on the United States with illegal migrants, the bulk that I saw when I was in Panama in the Darien Gap a year ago this week, as a matter of fact, Rob.
Wow.
The bulk are coming from Venezuela. There were a lot of Chinese migrants too, but from what I saw coming through the Darien Gap, you know, many were from Venezuela. And then the narco trafficking, his generals involved in narco trafficking and record levels of cocaine coming into this country. And now, by the way, Venezuelan's most dangerous and deadly drug gang is in New York, you know, big surprise. So it's all connected. It's all fitting together. It's something that former President Trump talked about. The Biden policy towards Venezuela. He's talked about energy independence under his administration and how the Biden administration is buying oil from that region, from Venezuela, you know, and how he will, he'll implement his policies again if reelected.
Well, this is the thing about making us energy dependent again, is that we have to essentially refund regimes that are terroristic in nature, like in Iran, they were on the ropes, like in Russia, they were on the ropes, like in Venezuela, by the way. And about 10 years ago, you know what the number one restaurant in Caracas was? The Zoo. I'm not kidding. People literally went hunting at the zoo to eat. All right.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, dude, because you were in the Darien Gap. What's the most shocking thing you saw? And tell me about the men that you saw there.
Yeah. So that's a great point. And that was shocking. First of all, the thousands of people on a daily basis coming down river as I was going up this crocodile infested river to an indigenous village. 3 hours upriver, I was the only journalist there, not only U.S. journalist, but only journalist in that entire region. I think AP may have been there a couple weeks before, but I was the only one there, went into this village, and I saw, yes, you saw some families here and there, but the majority were young, single males. And to use a term that, you know, former President Trump has used, some pretty bad hombres. Some really tough guys that I would not want to come across, you know, in a dark alley in New York. And that is by far the majority of people that I was seeing coming through there were single military. It's true. And we've heard this reported, you know, but it's true. And I reported it then, and I continue to say those were by far the majority of people that I was seeing coming through.
And the United States and the United Nations and the United States are facilitating it. They're paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no doubt. I mean, it's horribly sad to see people, you know, families and you know, I interviewed a family with young children about the age of my children. And that's tragic to see. But they were not the majority. You know, the majority was as I just described. And the same answer, I was given the same answer with every single person. And I interviewed a fair amount, not every person, obviously, because I'd still be there trying to interview people. But I interviewed a lot of people in the week that I was there. Why are you coming to the United States? Because the border is open under Biden. We can come in. How do you think you're going to stay? Asylum. Well, what about when President Trump was in office? What about that? Oh, no, we couldn't get through the border. That was the answer every single time, every single person. That was it wasn't exactly shocking, but when I was hearing it from every person, it reemphasized the problem with our border and the lack of border security.
John, you've heard about this. We uncovered a FOIA request, uncovered that 325,000 people have been flown into 48 airports around our country without documentation from their home countries, which are not revealed. That to me, and it sounds like what they're trying to do is make it look like the numbers of the border are down by doing it this way. This is outrageous, John. This is an outrageous invasion being funded by the United States. It's incredibly dangerous, John, and this isn't about freedom. This isn't about votes, because Chinese military-age men are not coming here to vote Democrat. There's something much more sinister and awful happening here, John.
Well, it is dangerous, and a lot of the people that I came across, they did not have any identification. You know, whether it was lost in the jungle, whether they were robbed of their possessions, many simply didn't have IDs. So there was no practical or possible way to identify them, to check their backgrounds, to see if they were criminals. And that's something, speaking of Venezuela, it's reminiscent of the Mariel vote lift. I'm here in Florida.
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing Maduro and also other countries, not only Venezuela, but other countries doing the same, releasing prisoners, letting them leave in an effort and a strategy to send them to the United States, to send an influx to the United States. That's something that's being perpetuated by Maduro and other countries as well.
Unbelievable. Yesterday, Tim Tebow was on Capitol Hill talking about sex trafficking. The Florida sheriff talked about yesterday the American government is literally paying to traffic young women, paying off the penalty for sneaking across the border to the drug cartels by selling their bodies. What did you see any evidence of trafficking and also drug traffic as well while you were in the Darien Gap or elsewhere?
I'm sure it was happening. I didn't see it directly, but certainly nobody was going to tell me they were human traffickers. You know, but I mean, Panama has long been known as a major drug transportation corridor from Peru, from Colombia, you know, coming through the Panama Canal, because you have, you know, the I'm not sure the number of ships, container ships coming every day. But so Panama's always been a major narco trafficking destination and hub, particularly for the cartels. So, and that's increased. We've seen the numbers, particularly I talked about cocaine. Venezuela, I did a story about a year and a half ago. I was with the CBP, went up in one of their P3 Orions, which they use. They go to some of our allied countries and work with Costa Rica and some of the countries in going after the drug smuggling. And the bulk of the record levels of cocaine in 2021, 2022 was coming from Venezuela. And what they're doing is what they're called the Cartel of the Sun. These are the generals under Maduro, who, by the way, during the Trump administration, I think 15 of them were indicted. And what they do is the money they make off the narco trafficking, they use to buy Russian and Chinese weapons. That is documented. We have evidence. The country has, and particularly under the Trump administration, they have evidence of that, and that's why they indicted these generals, the Cartel of the Sun. And that continues. That's how they're making money. It truly is. You know, former President Trump made the point when he was in Eagle Pass. He said, this isn't only a military operation, this is a war. And it is. And I think some of these countries, like Venezuela, some people may accuse me of being, you know, being alarmist or maybe hyperbolic language, but I think it's truly, they've declared war on the United States.
John, it's not being hyperbolic at all. It's not being hyperbolic at all. MSNBC will tell you are being, but I certainly won't, and the American people won't. We got about 45 seconds or so. Tell me about the difference between January and now at Eagle Pass.
Well, at Eagle Pass, they've essentially shut down and secured the border there because of the National Guard, because of the law enforcement abilities there and the protection as part of Operation Lone Star. So we're seeing, you know, what Governor Abbott was able to do and how he was able to do it, at least there. And that's, again, that is representative of how dire the situation and how extreme the situation has become from a security standpoint along our southern border, that we have to bring in the National Guard to stem the flow, at least in that area, and really throughout the entire stretch of the U.S.-Mexico border.
That's John, honey, we've got to run. Where are you headed next, man?
For now, back and forth to Mar-a-Lago and possibly Israel, maybe Ukraine.
All right, brother. Well, be careful. We do appreciate what you do. You're great, man, and thanks for taking the time today.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. John Huddy, where can people find you on social media?
At John Huddy TV. On
All right,
Twitter,
bro.
And then, yeah, just look me up. I'm easy to find.
All right, you're the best. God bless, bro. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Thanks, brother.
All right, let's take a break. This is The Rob Carson Show. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but things are pretty volatile in this country. A lot of people are having to come back out of retirement to work. That number's gone up 400% because we don't know which way the stock market's going to go, which way interest rates are going to go. Silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to prepare wealth and hedge against economic instability. Physical silver provides you with a tangible asset that you can hold on to in your hand. CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in tangible coin assets. Every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your silver and gold coin collection with confidence. And if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money itself, right? So go to csnmint.com/newsmax. Use promo code Newsmax, and you'll get one free silver eagle over $30 in value with your purchase of $75 or more. Browse the entire catalog at csnmint.com/newsmax and find out what works for you, your budget, and your family. That's csnmint.com/newsmax and use promo code Newsmax, okay? Wow, John Huddy was awesome, huh? Wow. If you want to hear the podcast of the show every day, all right, about an hour after the show, my awesome producer, Ken, also known as Redneck MacGyver, puts up the show in a two-part podcast. All you got to do is just go to your normal podcast platforms. You know, if you're not familiar with podcasting, I know a lot of you aren't. You got a lot of, you know, business going on in your life, and, you know. But just Google The Rob Carson Show. You'll find one. Maybe it's Spotify. Maybe it's Apple Podcasts. Whatever. But subscribe to it there, if you would, okay? And then also just tell Alexa, say, hey, A-L-E-X-A. I say that because she's here in the studio. It's so creepy. I need to get rid of her. I mean, no, I love you. You're the best. A-L-E-X-A. Just say, hey, A-L-E-X-A. play the Rob Carson Show podcast, and please don't kill me when you become self-aware. If you would do that, that would be great, all right? Okay. I mentioned Batya Unger Sargon. She writes for Newsweek. She's supposedly left of center, and she was talking about how we as a nation are coming together, and the elites are very few and far between, and they project on us what they want. They say that white people are haters and racists, and black people are victims, and they're the ones who create all this crap, right? And she was talking to Steve Bannon. I want to finish a couple things here and hear her words. She was talking about the White Rural Rage book that is all the rage on MSNBC.
Guess what? Donald Trump was polling at 8% of black men in 2020. He got 18%. He's now polling 20 to 30% of black men. You can imagine what he's going to get. The majority of Hispanics, who, by the way, the majority of that community is working class, they're also part of the MAGA movement. They're on the Trump train. This is absolute cope by a left that has abandoned labor to cater to their vanity morals and masquerade as the good guys while hating this country.
Absolutely. That's that MSNBC panel that I was talking about. Listen to this, how the dynamics between the parties have changed completely.
They have no respect for this country or for the values of this country or for the value of hard work.
Talking about the radical left.
They sit around in their universities and confer plaudits on each other, and then they say, oh, if you don't have a credential, you don't deserve the American dream. That was Clinton. That was Obama. Yep. Everybody's going to go to college. Not everyone wants to go to college. And by the way, most college-educated people are underemployed and still making more than working-class people. It's an absolute outrage. When they realize how much money there was in the knowledge industry, they increasingly started catering to those voters. Let me tell you.
That's why Joe Biden's paying off their student loans. People who don't go to college are paying them off.
Something. 97% of donations coming out of Silicon Valley go to Democrats. The majority of Americans making over $500,000 a year are Democrats. Nine of the 10 richest counties in this country now vote for Democrats. And the majority of donations coming out of Wall Street went to Joe Biden and not to Donald Trump. Because these elites hate Trump because he represents the return of the middle class, the rise of the working class, and the pride of the working class. That's what they hate and why they write this stuff, this drivel. They cannot stand the idea that people who work with their hands for a living should have dignity.
Absolutely, and we are of massive number, and we will overwhelm them, all shapes and sizes, all colors, all creeds, all races, all political affiliations. We will come together to save the country and put these elites in the rearview mirror of history. Let's take a break and come back, shall we? This is the Rob Carson Show.
Hey, it's Tony Marino, host of the wildly popular Newsmax Daily podcast, available for free along with Jerry Callahan, Rob Carson, and other great podcasts at newsmax.com/listen or wherever you get podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Web. This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is hour number three of the Rob Carson Show. We have much, 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 much to get to, including Backdoor Fanny. That sounded kind of weird. And I'm not going to go there, but certainly Nathan Wade did. Some testimony yesterday that was really amazing. I mean, really, really amazing. She is so screwed. Even more screwed than, well, never mind. You know where I'm going with that. So that's on the way. That is on the way. Marjorie Taylor Greene. I found an interesting soundbite from Marjorie Taylor Greene. I won't play here in a second. By the way, in case you didn't know, the Congress is subpoenaing the former governor of the state of New York. The former governor of the state of New York thought he could just get away with putting a bunch of people with COVID into nursing home facilities. and a lot of people died. A lot of people died. But you see, the Democrat Party doesn't give a damn about old people. You know why? Because they are a burden on the government. They are the burden on Medicare and Medicaid. They're a burden on Social Security. The sooner you die, the better to Democrats. I'm not screwing around here. It's very obvious. I've said it for years. And now he's going to pay the piper. And the should go to jail for it. This is Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis talking about what they are going to do to Mr. Cuomo.
We want answers. As a New Yorker, I saw constituents lose loved ones. I believe they lost loved ones in nursing homes because of the mandates.
Do you know why? Because advanced age is a comorbidity.
Put in place by Governor Andrew Cuomo that were not in sync with federal guidance. And so we knew all the time that seniors were the most vulnerable, and yet he put COVID-positive patients in nursing homes.
This is monstrous, by the way.
With our most vulnerable, even after there were alternatives set up, makeshift hospitals, the U.S. Navy comfort ship.
They never sent anyone to the ship Comfort, all right? They never sent anyone to the massive hospital tents that were set up in Central Park. They didn't.
He still continued that mandate. And as a result, 15,000 seniors in our nursing homes died. And we want to...
Hold on. Let's hear that again.
The U.S. Navy comfort ship. He still continued that mandate. And as a result, 15,000 seniors in our nursing homes died. And we want accountability. We want answers for those families as to... What were the discussions within the administration that warranted his decision to do that?
Wow. Who are the two biggest groups of people that Democrats don't care about the most? I mean, it's hard to pick. I mean, honestly, you know, young women in sports, obviously, with allowing men to pretend they're women and destroy their careers. Black people, you can add that to the list now, honestly. Look at Chicago and New York, and I mean, name every Democrat-run city in America. Look at the black schools. Look at the black crime rate. You know, what else you need to know? And the unborn. Oh, the unborn, of course. Number one on the list is the unborn. And then elderly people, of course, yeah. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene with some interesting statistics about two large vaccine manufacturers.
The government paid Pfizer and Moderna in 2020, 2021, and 2022. Pfizer received $15.27 billion.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Moderna received $9.99 billion. Wow. Pfizer, amazingly, in 2022, got a 23% increase. But in 2021,
ooh, listen to this.
They doubled their income.
It gets bigger.
Doubled their income at a 95% increase in revenue.
Wow.
That's absolutely impressive, thanks to the American people. But it was Moderna's whose numbers were astounding. Moderna increased their revenue in 2020, had a 1,238% increase in revenue. In 2021, they got a 2,200% increase in revenue. It's quite impressive, though, that Pfizer worldwide went from at $190 billion right there towards the beginning of 2021 and skyrocketed at the end of 2021 to $330 billion worldwide.
That's crazy. And I actually said it while it was happening. So there's that. And then, listen to this. This is kind of interesting. Dr. Pierre Corey was speaking in front of Congress the other day. Remember what I told you as it was happening? You know, you couldn't get ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, even though hydroxychloroquine wiped out COVID in Uttar Pradesh, the largest Indian province. Remember that? Yeah. And then he was called a denier, and he was called a whatever. And all these doctors were drummed out of medicine and all of that stuff. Well, here's what he had to say about all the medicines that could help during COVID.
This is what's called the forest plot. This shows 43 effective medicines in COVID. I've circled the only ones that were approved for use in the United States.
Which ones are those?
And actually, the circles are off, but if you look, you probably can't see it. But
sure.
If you look at the cost, the only things approved in the United States all cost in the many hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Every zero, $1, $2, $5 medicine was completely ignored and never would reach regulatory approval.
Huh.
Further, when they did not get the result they wanted, in several instances, they were forced to change the original endpoint, a supposed never event in research science. And despite these manipulations, each of these studies' publications launched massive negative PR campaigns.
That's kind of weird, right? And you know, you kind of wonder why. I don't know why maybe so many news organizations didn't bother to comment about any of this stuff in real time. And I think I have the answer right here.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer. ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
That's weird.
Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer. CNN Tonight. Brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start. Brought to you by Pfizer.
It's kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah. Kind of weird how that happens. I don't know, man. You know, I'm not saying, I'm not trying to draw any conclusions here, but. Yeah. And they're talking about Disease X now, right? Disease X. That's the name. It's Disease X. For those of you who are a Gen Z Powerpuff Girls, you know, they're made with Ingredient X and all that. This is far more dangerous and not funny. And those same organizations are saying you need your 10th booster. Did you know that? The CDC director said you need your 10th booster. What happens if the supply chains break down again? What are you going to do for medicine? You going to let them do this again to you? No, you know what maybe you ought to do? I don't know. Maybe go to the wellness company and get your emergency medical kit like I have. Here's what you got to do. If you want ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pack and you want amoxicillin, all of these things, everything from a tick bite to a pandemic, all of them are available in an emergency medical kit. They've got one for your home. They've got a travel pack. They've got a pandemic pack. They've got a first aid pack. And they are being operated by the same doctors who were derided and destroyed by the CDC and the HHS and the mainstream media. Yeah, yeah. Dr. Peter McCullough is one of them. Here's the website if you want to order it, okay? If you want to order an emergency medical kit, write this down, all right? It's very short, very easy, and you'll save 10%. TWC.health/Carson. TWC.health/Carson. Get it done, all right? If you've got extra water, you got extra food for an emergency. If you've got a code word with your kids, like when, you know, you need to get together, if there's an emergency, you need some meds, all right? TWC.health/Carson. That's the website. Let's go to John in Baltimore. John, welcome to the show, man. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Rob, I just want to add one quick little thing up here. Comment about the governor of New York. You were saying, like, the old people were a burden on everybody.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I think he forgot is that the old generation remembers, can educate the new generation and maybe, like, you know, now that's another thing that these the powers that be don't want. They want to wipe us out so that we can't tell them how it was and tell them the truth because, like, that's...
Yeah.
You know, that... Oh, one more little thing. Can I one more little thing?
That's true. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, like, just in general, like, and, you know, I love all the talk shows, like, on 680, but I kind of noticed, like, on this one show, they were talking about the cameras and then and the high-rise and all that stuff. One thing would be kind of cool to bring it all together like Rush used to do, and like to show people the big picture instead of like, you know, little what do you call it, like subjects here, subjects there. For instance, I read this book about Agenda 21. That was a great book, and it like pulls everything together, like, you know, like with speed cameras, how they can morph into like the facial recognition cameras, and the high rise. It isn't just to have people, what do you call it, like for convenience of work. It's, you know, you put it all together, and you know, you can see it. You can see the big plan, basically.
Well, here's what I got. Now, John, I wrote the other night, you may recall yesterday I talked about this. I was up at 4 a.m. and I wrote a 5-page dissertation, I guess, to some degree. I didn't expect it to go that long, and I did put it all together. Now, I'm going to post it on Substack. I've got some issues. Well, I've got lots of issues. I just ask my mom. Oh, well, she's not around anymore. But I do have it. I've debated whether I should read it on the air because it's a long-ass read, but it will make complete sense. You know what? I'll do it at the bottom of the hour. I'm just going to do it at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to do it at the bottom of the hour, John.
It'll be
Trust me.
Cool. It'll be kind of cool because I think, like, I used to call because I was in the military, and I called Russ Limbaugh the intel, and I used to call Sean Hannity the infantry.
Nice.
And a little bit of a, and you're like a combination of the two of them, which is kind of...
Well, I'm the Paul Revere. That's what I'm trying to be, the Paul...
Oh, okay.
You remember Rush Revere? He wrote those series of books.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
I'm the
yeah.
Paul Revere. I'm saying, two arms, two arms. The commies are coming. That's my thing right now. You guys are the Minutemen, man. Come on now. All right, John. Thank you, bro. All right, we got to run. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. Let's go to Paul in Catonsville. Paul, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. Hello.
Good afternoon, Rob. I just wanted to tell you, you mentioned something about people being responsible for this movement. And you, sir, are so much involved and so responsible for us, for what we are going to do in November for this country. So I want to thank you. Here's my question to you.
Yes.
One, Governor Hochul, is she going to give implied immunity to the National Guardsmen coming into New York to enforce the laws? Mm. And two, will the governor of Illinois deploy the National Guard to Chicago in preparation for the riots that the left is going to probably start committing out there? I'll hang up.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Here's what's going to happen. The Democrats are going to do nothing about what is going to happen in the country. They are wanting it to happen. That's why they're allowing these anti-Semitic protests to grow. They're the same people behind those. They want America to burn this election year. I'm just telling you. Kathy Hochul is doing it because she has to. Because there are gangs in New York from Venezuela who are terrorizing people and killing people. And she has to do something about it because the people in New York are done with this nonsense. As far as what's happening in Chicago, it's going to make 1968 look like a Chuck E. Cheese party. A Chuck E. Cheese birthday party. That's my prediction. So I wouldn't have any faith in anybody in Chicago, particularly Brandon Johnson. He's a buffoon. He's a communist and he's a buffoon. So the people in Chicago, here's the deal. The people who are going to be rising up are the people, the black people, the Hispanic people, the poor people of Chicago who are done with this nonsense. So I don't know what the hell's going to happen in Chicago. The only reason they would call up the National Guard is to go out to the people who have a legitimate grievance and not the people who, like, sacked and burned America in 2020. This is Kathy Hochul, by the way, the idiot. Yeah, what's up, Doc? That's why I call her that, because, whatever. Anyway, Kathy Hochul, she's calling out the National Guard for the mess that Democrats have caused in New York. And here's what's going to happen. The National Guard is going to be there at tables to search purses. All right. Here's Kathy Hochul.
Point one. I'm redeploying nearly 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard to conduct bag checks in the city's busiest transits. They'll start seeing them at the
table. Oh, well, thank God it'll stop those ladies with purses.
Tables, making sure that weapons are not being brought in, working in concert.
God, she's such a moron.
With our New York State.
You're so screwed.
Police, as well as our NYPD.
Who we've tied their hands for a couple of years and abused them greatly.
Because no one heading to their job or to visit family or to go to a doctor appointment should worry that the person sitting next to them possesses a deadly...
Wow, she's so full of crap, her eyes are brown. On the other side of the break, I have a sheriff in New York City, not a sheriff, but a law enforcement official, says what they're doing is too late. That's on the other side of this break. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Let's make 2024 the year we turn back from nonsense to common sense. It's the Rob Carson Show.
1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard to conduct bag checks in the city's busiest transit.
Oh, yeah, the bag checks. That'll work, boy, them bag checks. That's a great idea by an idiot governor who suddenly says that, oh, yeah, they got a problem with crime in New York City. Why are you doing bag checks? Are there bombs in there, do you suppose? Do you suppose maybe there's some terrorists who staked across the southern border who are going to wreak havoc? I swear to God in heaven. I mean, people are going to have to be held accountable for this nonsense. This is Tom Smith, a New York City retired police detective on Newsmax. He says that Kathy Hochul's idiotic decision, and by the way, they're going to have him checking bags and standing around, not going after the real criminals. He says it's too late.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's way too late, but
the one thing that's comforting is they're actually acknowledging there's a problem. And the first way you take care of the problem is actually acknowledging there's a problem. It's great that you're going to be down there, but if you're going to be standing at a table just checking bags, that's not going to take care of the problem. And why is that? Because bad guys have more means and access to social media today than any police department or any politician.
No.
So what got said today? Across the board on every social media platform.
You hear that, you Venezuelan gang members? We're going to check your bags.
Every criminal got told, don't bring a bag down into the subway. And plus, guns, knives are not usually held in a bag by the bad guys on their person. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear more about what's going to be done on that issue and those problems and on that level.
Hey, what do you got there? What do you got there in that bag there? Oh, son of a gun, you got me with my gun. Oh, man, I mean, God, what the hell was I thinking bringing that bag? Yeah, you know what this is a result of? It's a result of this nonsense.
You know, Southwest would let your bags fly free. Well, the federal government will let you illegal.
Oh, that's the wrong one. That's not the one that I wanted. This is the one that I wanted.
So we've been talking about defunding the police.
There's some issues that we ask police to do, like mental health issues or policing in schools and all the rest, that perhaps we can shuffle some of that money around.
Suck it up. Defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police.
Mayor Eric Garcetti saying, take some of the money from policing, about $150 million.
I applaud Eric Garcetti for doing what he's done.
Funding isn't necessarily as aggressive as a lot of folks paint it. You know, school budgets get cut almost every year.
Not only do we need to disinvest for in police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
So yes to some defunding.
We have to reallocate resources, so yes.
Would you echo calls from some Black Lives Matter activists to defund the police?
Well, I think now is the time that we need to actually do that work.
It is outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Yeah, that's your idiotic vice president. Everything is on these jackasses' heads. All of it. How stupid are these people? This is the problem when you put academics in charge, because academics sit around in their little conference rooms, and they mentally masturbate about all these idiotic proposals. They say that communism really is the best way to govern, even though it left 100 million, now probably 200 million dead people in body pits last century. They sit around and they go, oh, no, community policing is the best. We'll send psychologists out. You know, these are the same morons who put, visualized world peace bumper stickers on their stupid Priuses. These are the same people who think Give Peace a Chance was a good song. Are you kidding me? It's the dumbest song ever written. One of the dumbest songs ever. Which all we are saying is give peace a chance. Meanwhile, Kim Jong-un is over going, I'm going to wipe your asses off the planet. Meanwhile, in Iran, where we allowed them to enrich themselves with oil again and allowed them to start spinning centrifuges again, they're on the verge of a nuclear weapon. They're insane. All right? This is the liberal, sociopathic, idiotic, academic left. And if we save the country, it'll be in spite of them. All right, so coming up, let's have some fun at Fonnie Willis's expense next. She's our backdoor girl, and Nathan Wade is her backdoor man. That's on the way. This is the Rob Carson Show. All right, so I want to talk real quick about Fonnie Willis, and then I'm going to try and read this piece that I wrote, kind of a mea culpa the other night about what's going on in the country. But first, Fonnie Willis.
Oh, yeah. A backdoor man. I am.
I'm going to add to this.
A backdoor man.
Shame for me, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I want to be a backdoor man.
Oh. Hey. Greatest song in rock and roll history. Hey. Right there. So, Fonnie Willis, yesterday in a Senate hearing in Georgia, Ashley Merchant, who is a lawyer, was being questioned about, you know, her relationship, Fannie Willis's relationship with the man she hired for $700,000 to prosecute Donald Trump, even though he has no experience.
She became DA.
When did she become DA?
She became DA in, it would have been January 2021.
Okay.
So she became DA January 1st, 2021, but she had a transition team leading up to that.
Transition.
So, and Mr. Wade was in charge of her transition team. So Mr. Bradley told me all of that. We met for about an hour. Said that they had been together. They met at this conference. Nathan was still married. And Mr. Bradley was upset because of what happened in the divorce. He was upset because they were still married. You know, the Wades were still married.
Uh-oh.
And he essentially just left her after meeting Miss Willis.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's a homewrecker. Well, what do you know? What do you know? Now, I don't know if you knew this, but she visited the White House. And that was said yesterday, actually. It's true.
There's one of the other things I did was I did a open records for the White House access, and we had records that Miss Willis and the mayor of Atlanta were at meeting with the vice president.
Okay, so that, but you know, it's kind of weird because Fannie last week said she didn't go to the White House.
In the D.C., I did an interview at Howard University. I went to D.C. for that.
Uh-huh, what else?
Seems like I've been to D.C. one other time. Oh, yeah, I went to D.C. for the Global Summit.
Oh, yeah, the Global Summit. Actually,
yeah, those were two separate trips.
My next question is based on her opening the door, and therefore I'll just ask it, and Your Honor can decide whether or not it's appropriate. When you went to D.C., did you go to the White House?
Okay. I did not go to the White House.
Oh, that's weird. That's a perjury. She's going down, which is not uncommon for her to do. All right, here's what I wrote. I don't have a title for it, but I want you to put this together because I said this the other day about if Joe Biden decided he wanted to destroy the country, what would he do differently? And then it added up. Listen to this. Okay. The question has been asked, if Joe Biden had set out to deliberately destroy the United States, how would he have done things differently? The answer is nothing, because this is why he was selected and installed as the president. It is as clear as the 8 spots on his face. He has massive corruption in his past, which buys his silence. He has sociopathy to disregard the needs of the American people. And he has the mental incapacity to not question those who are giving him his marching orders. Let me pose a few questions to those who are confounded by the actions of the last 3 years. Why would Joe Biden open the southern border to everyone in the world, including military age males from our nation's enemies? Why would Joe Biden allow our tax dollars to fund a lab in Wuhan, China, that would create a virus that destroyed our economy, killed millions, and not hold China accountable? Why would he destroy the Keystone XL pipeline and make us needlessly dependent on foreign oil while we have the largest reserves of crude oil, coal, and natural gas? Why would he insist on buying dirty crude from Venezuela as their leaders impoverish and imprison their people? Why would he mandate electric vehicles, windmills, and solar farms whose components are mostly made in China and enrich the CCP while hobbling our own nation? Why would he allow the Chinese government to purchase so much farmland near military installations? Why would Joe Biden and his deep state allow fentanyl to flow in across the southern border to addict and kill hundreds of thousands of people without repercussions or care? Why would he spend trillions of dollars on nonsense with zero results? Why would he print trillions of dollars recklessly and wreck the economy? We've been confounded as to why he would withdraw our troops from Afghanistan before our allies and leave them there with billions of dollars in military equipment, which has allowed the Taliban to rise again to be more powerful than they were before 9/11. It wasn't sound military policy to benefit the United States and his allies. It is the exact opposite, and it's intentional. There's no other reason to allow the region to descend into chaos and precipitate the ruination of the lives of millions of women there who had finally begun to educate themselves and become independent. Why would he ignore the cries of the American people as they suffer? Why did he needlessly close down America's businesses and schools, causing untold damages to our children and their parents' livelihoods? Why would he shut down churches and commit a full frontal assault on the First Amendment, using the agencies of government to suppress free speech on social and mainstream media? Why would he not visit his border catastrophe for 3 years at East Palestine, Ohio, until a year after the disaster of epic proportion, where none of the victims were offered assistance? Why would he create a disinformation governance board and outsource censorship to several organizations like the Stanford Virality Project to shut down all disagreement with federal government edicts and policies? Why would he set up those who would protest a corrupted and rigged election and then use the FBI and DOJ to pursue them to the ends of the earth and punish them while allowing those who burned and sacked the country to go free? Why would our children be subjected to critical race theory in schools that divides them? Why would children in inner cities be encouraged to be aggrieved against whites, Jews, and Asians while the Democrats their parents support do nothing to make their lives better? Why would inner city schools reach an all-time low for achievement? Why would organizations like Black Lives Matter pilfer so much to enrich so few while doing nothing for the black community? Why would radical transgender social contagion be allowed to flourish while so many have bought into the sexual mutilization of our children, including teachers, counselors, principals, school boards, doctors, endocrinologists, and surgeons, including our nation's premier children's hospitals? Why would he allow the absurdity of men to change sexes and compete with women, destroying their athletic careers and subjecting them to injury? Why would our government go after those who would oppose all of this at school board meetings? Why would his minions in the deep state crush all Democrat competition for the presidency while 75% of the American people think he's not mentally or physically fit to be the president? The answer is quite simple. Joe Biden is so profoundly corrupt and mentally impaired as to allow those to engineer the destruction of our country. I have said Joe Biden's presidency is the quid pro quo for our nation's enemies, and I stand by that assertion. He's made millions of dollars selling influence to our country's biggest enemies. They have all the dirt they need to buy his and his family's silence. They have a man who is so mentally impaired and morally bankrupt as to not question the obvious, which is how all of this fundamentally changing America into something the founders would have never imagined. We have a Defense Department that has gone woke and destroyed recruitment. We have a Secretary of Defense who booted soldiers and officers for not taking the jab. He also went AWOL without telling anyone in the height of several conflicts around the world that could boil over at any moment. And he's not being held accountable. Why would Joe Biden allow a Chinese spy balloon to hover over our military installations and finally shoot it down when it left American airspace? Why would Joe Biden spend 40% of his time away from the White House doing work off the books? That's my opinion. Where visitor logs aren't required. Why would so many of his administration officials spend so much time at Barack Obama's D.C. residence that he purchased immediately after leaving office? Why have none of the ex-presidents, especially Barack Obama, said anything as the nation has been set ablaze and divided socio and economically, racially, and sexually? Why would four indictments of his main political rival happen and four trials be forced during an election year? Why was Donald Trump impeached twice for nothing, including once after he left office? Why was his residence raided for the first time in American history for documents to which he was entitled while Joe Biden took untold thousands of our nation's biggest secrets in boxes in his garage storage units, in an office in Chinatown in D.C., and at the Penn Biden Center, which is fully funded by the Chinese Communist Party? The answer is that all of this is intentional. And Joe Biden is the Manchurian candidate the world's despots have been waiting for. Given four more years, it's obvious the United States will cease to exist. That is the plan. We've reached a moment of our greatest awakening in our nation's history as we face the biggest domestic threat since the Civil War. As our enemies pour in over our borders, we must act as our forefathers and rise to stop it. It will take each and every one of us. Our Paul Revere's are those whose voices have been silenced under the guise of mis and disinformation. Our Minutemen are of all colors, races, nationalities, and sexes. And by the way, there are only two of them. Our enemy comes from within, and our founders recognized them over 200 years ago in the Declaration of Independence, which I will quote now. governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. End quote. Our founders would have never been able to grasp the depths to which those who have been given so much freedom and responsibility would sink to destroy them. The list of abuses and usurpations of the American people have endured over the years make those of the founders pale by comparison, and they have become more severe and inhumane. The United States has become the greatest engine of individual economic freedom in the history of the human race. While that has happened, the world's despots have soldiered on, waiting for a time and place to extinguish the one nation that changed the world immensely for the better, lifted people out of poverty, and provided inspiration to those who would throw off tyranny. We must stop them and save our country at all costs. There you go. There you go. That's what I wrote the other night. And what I am suggesting you do is you overwhelm the left with joy. You overwhelm them with patriotism. And we come together as the 77% of us who believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. This means black people. This means white people. This means whatever color people, it doesn't matter. Because this is the finest place in the world to live. That's why so many people are coming here. And even though the left has told us to hate our country and focus on the one guy who kneels during the anthem and not the 65,000 who stand and weep with joy for the gifts that living in this country have given them, we overwhelm them with joy, and we make them very clear that if they take our country away as founded, we will take it back. We're going to do that at the ballot box, and we're going to do that by exposing all of their attempts to take it away from us, and we're winning. And their movement is dying. And they're going to do everything they can to try to take us down, and we will not go that way. This is something I came up with about a year ago about Jack Smith and the indictments of Donald Trump, who is the man who went to Washington, D.C. for the first time in 50 years and did what we asked him to do, and they can't stand it.
Do you hear the people sing, singing a song of Donald Trump? Indict him at your peril, and next year you'll get thumped. Jack Smith is a left-wing hack. The man's a real disgrace. This is sure to blow up in his face. Are we still America? Or is this a third world state where you're allowed to prosecute the people that you hate? We must stop them all before it's too late. Do you hear the people scream? Stop this insanity. Concocting lame indictments, 'cause Trump's your enemy. It proves that you're afraid, afraid of Donald's run. 'Cause when he's reelected, you're all done.
I am your voice. I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution.
We're going to put this up on the podcast today after the show. We will. I'm going to ask to be isolated, this entire piece that I just did, to isolate it and post it so you can share with others. We can do this without a shot being fired. We can make it very clear that we're done with this direction of our country, and we're taking it back in joy and patriotism, and we are once again going to be able to enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as the founders said we could. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. The working title for my, I'm going to call it an audio blog. I do these things called audio blogs, and I've been reticent to share them on the radio because, they are enormously time-consuming. But the working title is The Madness of King Joe. The Madness of King Joe. And the reason I call it that is because what's happened to our country in the last 3 years is madness. And the only people who think that he's doing a good job are mad. They're insane. Yesterday I was going to McDonald's to get a iced coffee. And there was a guy, scraggly, sitting there, a mess, filthy, homeless. And I drove up to him and I said, "Hey man, can I buy you dinner?" And he said, "Yeah." And I went around and I was driving my Bronco, you know, book. And I pulled around and I got it and I came around to him. Just 3 years ago, it was all over. I was going to lose my family. I asked God to let me die in my sleep so my kids could have my life insurance. And I rolled down the passenger window and I gave him his dinner and I looked at him in the eye and I said, "I just want you to know that just a few years ago I was ready to give it up." And I said, "If you're suffering, I'm praying for you." And he said, "Thank you." I apologize for that. There's so much suffering happening in our country. And it's all happening because of the people in charge in Washington, D.C. I mean, yeah, we got our problems and all that. But we're guaranteed life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness. And this government for the last 3 years has done everything to prevent that from happening, except for the people who live in Washington, D.C., and the people whose palms they grease, and they just passed another stupid spending bill loaded with pork and bullcrap. And we've had enough. We've had enough. There is no coming to middle ground. There is no forgiveness. There is only, we're taking our country back. We're going to take it with joy. We're going to take it in patriotism. We're going to do like they did in East Germany with that stinking wall in 1989. And we're going to do it. And we've been persecuted and prosecuted and punished and censored. And we're done. We outnumber them. They are not intellectually or physically as well armed as we are. And we're taking it back. Download the podcast today and share it with others, will you? Particularly The Madness of King Joe. Newsmax.com/listen, your favorite podcast platform, or ask Alexa to play the Rob Carson Show podcast. We'll take a break and wrap things up. It's the Rob Carson Show. All right, guys, check out the podcast. Subscribe to it on your favorite podcast platform, the Rob Carson Show podcast. Ask Alexa to play it. God bless you. God bless America. God bless Israel. Until tomorrow, don't catch the stupid. See you guys.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can help by clicking the sponsor links in the show notes and take advantage of some great discounts available only to our listeners.